This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Catchy. Tune's catchy, right?
Yeah, it is. The Reds need to go.
That's right. Welcome to the semi-maiden voyage of the Dead Red Cincinnati podcast. Brian Giesenslaw, Sam LaCure. Sam, first things first, what is on your mind today?
I got two. Number one, we're back.
Yeah.
You and I, we're going to do this time.
That's right.
Some things we had to handle, they're handled. We're back. We're going to do it. And two, I think that despite tough sledding of late, the tide is turning for the Reds. We'll keep it at that.
I like it. All right. That's how we start. We're going to start every show with something right off the top, a little bit of meat right off the top. We might circle back certainly and revisit that in some ways, but that's how we start. But what is the show? We covered a little bit of this last time. We want to touch on it again. I'm Brian Giesenslaw in Cincinnati, Sam LaCure, former Reds pitcher. Together, we co-host Reds Live on Bally Sports, Ohio, have for a few years. Certainly enjoy the heck out of that. But we say on the show, you're the minister of culture for our show, for our program. So assuming that same title for this program, your vision for this podcast is what?
We like talking baseball and we like talking about other things. So obviously we're going to be Red centric, but it's a little bit more leash, I would say, as far as I can sit on the floor like I'm doing now in my own home and I don't have to, shout out a bunch of sponsors and whatnot. And we can, What's that?
We would like to shout out a bunch of sponsors.
We would. And we'll work on that.
Potential sponsors are listening right now.
we'll work on that as we go. But just an opportunity for us to kind of let our hair down.
Thank you.
I didn't mean it like that.
We're shot fired.
Both of us, buddy. Both of us. But just to talk in a little bit lighter mood.
Yeah, we like that. But I also like the idea of potential sponsors. So just so that's out in the open, the elephant in the room.
Noted.
All right. We're going to do this baseball terms. And so we're going to start with the leadoff spot. And as you just said, it's 99% of the time. I can't think of a time when that wouldn't be the Cincinnati Reds. That's what we are. And so let's start right there. And given where we are with the tough sledding, as you call it, for the Reds, I think outside of Ellie De La Cruz, which we're going to talk about a lot because I was looking at some more numbers and some comparisons again this morning with De La Cruz, and I think we have to continue fully appreciating what he's doing right now at a relatively, really young stage of his career. Outside of that, the best story going right now for the Cincinnati Reds is starting pitching. Why is that the case?
I think because it's what the organization's been waiting for. I think that's what they envisioned when, you know, obviously Hunter was a high pick. Nick Lodolo was a high pick. Graham Ashcraft maybe came out of nowhere, was definitely making some waves. But I think, you know, a couple of years ago, they had those three pegged. I mean, that was
the big three,
the big three on our pregame show for the first game of the year. You know, we had the kind of those big subheadings. I mean, it was the big three, and it was those guys who were going to kind of lead this team back into prominence. It's taken time because of injury and, you know, the learning curve of learning in the big leagues for Hunter kind of. But I feel like that weight is paid off. And now that the big three is more the big four with Andrew Abbott in it. And I think that everybody across the board has given him an opportunity to win. I mean, obviously the elephant in the room is they're not scoring any runs, but they've kept in most games pretty damn near all the games because they pitch really well. So I think just seeing those guys blossom and, you know, we talked yesterday or whenever it was about Hunter Green and the evolution of him becoming a pitcher. I feel like you're seeing that with all those guys.
Yeah, I want to talk more about Green because I was looking at stuff and we highlighted this after the most recent game. Hunter Green, at the time we're talking about this, had made 9 starts this season. 3 of those starts, and specifically 3 of the last 5, he's gone 7 innings.
Yeah.
Now, there are multiple factors that go into how long a guy stays in the game. He might have been having a better game and come out after 5 if he was coming off of an injury. He might have been having a better game and something else happened. I get that. But he started the season with a stated goal to get deeper in games because how many times his first 2 campaigns in the bigs did we see 4 1/3 and he had 92 pitches?
Yep.
So to have 3 of 9, 1/3 of his starts this year be 7 innings, I went back and looked. In each of his first 2 years, he had a total of 4 7-inning starts in his first 46 starts in the bigs. So is that part of the evolution of Hunter Green?
Yeah, it has to be because, I mean, you know, you and I will sit there and watch, and, you know, a lot of times it was 4 2/3 with 92 pitches and 9 punch-outs, you know, and I think that you've seen, even though he's still striking out a pretty good share of the hitters, it's not been the strikeout per 9 ratio that we've seen over the past couple of years, which is, you know, up in the 12s, you know, pretty close to 12 strikeouts per 9. I think it's closer to 1 per inning this year. And I think that some of that becomes from attacking the zone, you know, and it just sounds so simple, but if he's in the strike zone more often and not just kind of nibbling at those corners, trying to make the perfect pitches, he's in the zone with good stuff that forces hitters to make the decision on if they're going to swing or not. Mm-hmm. Right. So he's getting some earlier contact. While I feel like he's let off the gas on some of his fastball, I think a couple starts ago he said he was feeling sluggish. I think that is, and we're going to get into this a little bit later with that Verlander Scherzer thing we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, don't try to throw 100 necessarily. If you can throw 95 for 8 innings, do that rather than 100 for 5 innings. Mm-hmm. 95 for 8 innings, 100 for 5. Yeah, that's what I meant. So, you know, do some of those things. So I think that's been kind of his thought process is just getting in the strike zone more often. So that if he has to let off the gas to do that, it makes him a little bit more hittable, more contactable, I guess. Is that, I know that's not a word, but I think it explains what I'm trying to say. Like, right. I mean, they have a better chance to get the barrel to the ball and put it in play earlier in a count rather than on the 7th pitch of the at bat. Right. Yep. So I think that's been a big step forward for him.
All right. The other 3 of what, like you said, maybe now is the big 4.
Yeah.
Give me something from either Abbott, Ashcraft, or Lodolo, who unfortunately continues to battle the injury issue. Of those 3, give me something from one of those starting pitchers that has stood out to you that's maybe part of their evolution as we reinforce how young and inexperienced these guys are that the Reds are counting on to pitch so well so far.
I think that I'd probably put, as far as just straight pitchability, I'd put Andrew Ashcraft, Andrew Abbott.
That'd be a hell of a pitcher.
Yeah right? Andrew Abbott at the top of the list as far as I think he's farther along than all those other guys, just as far as how he understands it. I'd put Lodolo 2nd. I think part of his evolution, for Andrew, it's just kind of continuing to find. He has all the weapons to do it, and I think the knowledge of how to use it, it's just going to be when he's really locked in and commanding all of his stuff, I think he's got a chance to be just as good as any of them. Mm-hmm. Then I'd put Lodolo there, and what I've loved about him is the changeup addition. I think that that's been a huge pitch because even though they're two great pitches, the fastball and the curveball, I think having the third one to offset it, and it's really quality. I love that for him. For Graham, and he talked about it before his last time out, just kind of getting in his head too much because every start we talked to him after the game, and it's something mechanically. Mm-hmm. Always about, I need to just tighten up my mechanics, and it's every start. Mm-hmm. What are you tightening up? I mean, he's a guy that's out of the stretch, so there's not a ton going on there. So I think that he is behind, and he's going to be able to get away with it just because he's got something that's not seen in the game, which is 99 one way and 97 the other. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can kind of get through with just those. But I think he's behind as far as kind of his mentality and needing to be able to separate that. So I liked what he said his last time, which was, I need to stop thinking so much about the mechanics and go out there and grip it and rip it and compete. Now, the mechanics are going to be a thing, but the mechanics are a thing to think about during your midweek bullpen session, not while you're out there trying to get major league hitters out. So there just needs to be a separation for him. And I think once he's able to do that more consistently, won't necessarily happen overnight, may sound like an easy thing, but once he's able to separate those two, I think that opens some doors for him.
All right, that's the best story for the Reds so far this season, yeah. Starting pitching. The headline, though, that everyone's going to write is the recent stretch that they've had, yep. Lost a lot of games, lost a lot of close games, and essentially most of the lineup, which is deeper, even accommodating for the injuries that they faced or the suspension of Noelvi Marte, most everybody went cold at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's where they are right now. Outside of health, which is an obvious for everyone on the team, what's the biggest concern about what they've gone through so far?
This for me has been, I mean, it's something I thought about all offseason and why I didn't want to make any kind of predictions leading into this. You and I have talked about it, kind of the sophomore, and it's not all sophomores, but a young major league player mm-hmm. in the big leagues, you know, yeah. and it's the adjustment periods. Mm-hmm. So I guess specifically what I'm concerned about is their ability to make adjustments at the big league level and how long is that going to take? Because you can go through, I mean, this is about as long as this spell needs to last. I mean, yeah. They're at the length of it before it starts to affect their major goal for the season, unless they at some point get extremely hot. Mm-hmm. So it's the adjustment period. That's what concerns me is for the young guys. What is their process? I mean, they talk about the process and the work that they do every day, the routine. What is their process for getting out of a slump and figuring out how they're being pitched and how to adjust to it? Or if they're pitching, how the league's adjusting to how, you know, the adjustment period for the younger players. That is the concern for me because we haven't had a lot of opportunity to see them try mm-hmm. to make adjustments. So we don't know what that looks like. We talk about Ellie and the struggles he went through last year. He made the adjustments in the off season, right? And it's paid off for him, mm-hmm. right? It's been better for sure. Not perfect, but better. To try to adjust during the season is a little bit different animal. His was a swing adjustment. This is a kind of a mental adjustment of, oh, okay, Tyler Stevenson, man, I used to be able to shoot that ball the other way a lot. I'm no longer getting pitched away. I'm getting pitched in. How mm-hmm. do I adjust to that? What can I do? And you saw last year, he kind of screwed himself into the ground because that's not something he was ever used to, because down and away for his whole life was where everybody would pitch you. You know, I mean, that was just the safe zone, but that's what he got good at doing in the big leagues, where guys have the talent to be able to switch and pitch you inside. That adjustment became difficult for him. And I think it affected him as a hitter. Yeah. So the adjustment period is going to be the thing for me. How do you see it? What information are you using? And then how do you ultimately, you know, make the change to get back to being a productive major leaguer?
When the season started and people asked me and were rightfully excited based on what they saw last year, I said, keep in mind that of all those young guys that played so well last year and burst onto the scene, that certainly not everyone will take a step forward this season.
Right, right.
somebody might take a step back, somebody might take two steps back. But I thought, and I still think, the Reds kind of built things to insulate themselves against that possibility a little bit with some of the depth that they had. That's been hurt by injuries and suspension, certainly already early in the season, but I think that's what we're seeing. Guys are trying to make those adjustments and haven't taken those big steps forward yet that everybody thinks. But I started looking and I thought, when we were talking about in the previous game, the part of the lineup for the Reds that carried them offensively or kind of led them out, and we said it's good to see those veteran players kind of take the lead. On this team, a veteran player is not a very veteran player. Yeah. Of the guys who play every day, only Jamer Candelario could really be a veteran player.
Has more than 5 years of service time.
Right. And so you look at the other guys we consider to be veteran, Tyler Stevenson, Jonathan India, Jake Fraley. They all have between 300 and 400 games, and that's it.
Yeah.
And some of them are on the lower end of that.
Yeah.
Candelario has about twice that much experience. So of your everyday players, there aren't very many veteran players that most teams would consider them to be that. So they are working with that too, as they try to fight their way out of that. But it's
I think that was a big part of, because I didn't understand that signing so much, because I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen with Indy at the time. We didn't know about Marte at the time.
Right.
But that had to have been a big piece of them getting, you know, him as a guy who can move around the field a little bit, switch hitter,
right?
You know, a Dominican player for some of the younger guys that were coming through, you know, to lean on. But he had to have been that guy that they identified to help them through patches like this. He was going through a patch of his own, right? To begin the season when everybody else was hitting, he was a guy who wasn't.
Yeah.
And now he is. And I think that him coming out of this stretch, we talked about, I feel like he needs to be the first domino to fall. Well, he was because of his veteranness, but it didn't help the way that I was hoping that it would. I thought if he got through it, then guys would start coming up to him. Hey, how do I get out of this? What'd you do? But we haven't seen that come to fruition quite yet.
All right. You hope you see that if you're a Reds fan, but we right now, the reality of where things are is, you know, they've lost all of these games at a time when the schedule is relentless. And I mean relentless. And specifically right now, we're talking about they're in a stretch, 7 of 10 games against the Dodgers, 4 of those 7 games in L.A., and that's not easy. And they've played some great teams so far. They've played Baltimore. They've played Texas. They've played Philly. And did really well earlier in the season against Philly. But let's zero in just briefly and touch on the Dodgers. And I want you to finish this sentence for me. In 2024, Shohei Ohtani has been blank.
He's been worth half of every penny.
Okay, elaborate on that.
Well, because he's Gerrit Cole and Juan Soto rolled into one.
Exactly.
And that's a $70 million payroll.
And you're only getting half that right
now. So he's half of everybody, but he's been, well, maybe he's been a little bit more than half of every penny, because he's been, I mean, arguably the best offensive player in the game so far.
Leading.
But that's baseball. Why I'd say that. I did think about this. I thought about this last night before I went to bed. I was like, we're going to talk half of every penny.
Half of every penny. And so let's get to that, though. And there was some debate when, you know, you're talking about how much money Ohtani's going to get in the offseason of how do you pay him long term, not knowing if he's going to get back after the elbow surgery to pitch. How might that impact him as an offensive player? But as we sit here right now, leads a number of categories offensively in baseball, average hits, home runs, extra base hits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been phenomenal.
It's been crazy.
In the context of that team of superstars, what do you think the Reds are going to see in this stretch, and how did he impact, you know, what we already knew as the high-priced, high-flying Dodgers?
Well, how did he affect him? I mean, he goes out there. So those three guys, and we're going to talk about Betts, Freeman, and him, all were top three MVP. Ohtani was in the American League, won it, and Betts and Freeman were 2 and 3. How did he affect – I mean, it's hard to put a finger on how much he's affected them, because he's now their best offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously within itself, but you know, you can pay a guy like that. And I think MLB has done a pretty good job of marketing their superstars to a point of he could defer. He deferred $68 million a year for the life of this contract because he's going to get paid so much in sponsorships and whatnot, and how much money, you know, merchandise of the Dodgers selling for him. Mm-hmm. So even if you talked about, you don't know whether he's going to pitch and hit for the entirety of this contract, the financial ramifications of him even being on the team and what he does as they travel around the country, the attendance everywhere they go. I mean, they already mm-hmm. drew well because they already had a couple superstars, but now they've become more of a global situation. Global situation. So how's he impacted them on the field? They were going to be pretty good anyway, but they haven't had Clayton Kershaw. Walker Buehler just got back.
Right.
They're without four back end bullpen guys. Their top four back end bullpen guys. Somebody else wasn't doing something. And they have the second best record in the game.
Right.
So he's obviously helped alleviate some of the losses that they've had to this point, and they don't have him pitching either. Yeah. So if you factor all those things in, and the fact that they're where they are, maybe money does buy wins.
It has.
Yeah. They've got some wins.
They've got some wins and they got some money.
But all excited. I'm excited to watch him play. I mean,
yeah.
He to me is, I will kind of, this is going to sound weird, I think, but I will kind of combine him and Ellie a little bit because they're both ridiculously talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to watch when guys, how they move, like, because mm-hmm. Ohtani probably stole 15 bases last year too, mm-hmm. or something like that. But just the ease in which he, and how he makes everything look so effortless in a game that's really hard. The easier somebody makes it look, that is how you kind of put the tiers of player. You know what I mean?
How easy they make it look.
How natural they make it look, like the ease at which they go about doing something difficult. And so if you're trying to, yeah, you can read the stat line and whatnot, and that will give you a pretty good indication of who's better and who's not. But just to watch Ohtani move around the field, I think is special. Like, so I'm excited for him to get to Cincinnati.
Yeah, and maybe De La Cruz will, like last year, go and
poke him
to see if he's real.
Yeah.
One of the great moments. All right. You heard the bell. That, to me, the.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, we use it on the show, but on this show, it's going to signify
we need to move on.
Okay. Yeah, shifting gears. We're going from what was the leadoff spot to the Reds. Now we're going to do the stretch. Yep. The stretch is part of our show every week. And this was fascinating to me. And we're going to dig into it a little bit at a time. We're going to draw this out over
I had to buy that damn thing this morning. I was trying to figure it out last night. I was like, I can't read this.
Sam LaCure meet the paywall.
He's those, yeah, right.
That's good. You'll be better for it.
He'll be $7.99. But anyway,
that's right. You got to read more. But on The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark have done this three-part series. And to me, when I just saw the topic initially, I didn't dive right in. But after I read the first paragraph or two, I went, "That's fascinating to me." Yep. And I'd like to talk about this. So the question is, does Major League Baseball need to rescue and revive the starting pitcher? Now, on the surface, is that much of a thing that goes, no, maybe not. But you get into it and you think back to 20 years ago, maybe less than that. How many times did when you're talking about your team playing somebody else, you said, who's starting tonight? Is it Pedro and Randy Johnson? Is it Greg Maddux and John Smoltz? Those were the questions that you asked, and it was a reason to watch. And so the premise of their argument here is that not only is the health of a starting pitcher becoming one of the major concerns and one of the stories of the season of, you know, what's impacting injuries to starting pitching, that's always going to be one of the considerations. But another consideration is, in an effort to handle so carefully our starting pitchers and keep them healthy, have we lessened their role so much that they don't matter as much to the excitement or entertainment factor of the game? And I think entertainment is a key word.
Yeah. As you know, you started kind of leading us into this. I mean, that's when I was playing. I mean, obviously I was going to watch a game a day, period, but I would only watch another game based on the pitching matchup. You know, if it was at that time, you know, Max and JV were still at their peaks, you know, so maybe if Max was in.
Those guys are still pretty good.
Yeah, they're still pretty good. yeah. So, you know, Max is pitching for the Nationals against blah, whoever, Kershaw. You know, I mean, that's like, oh, I'm definitely going to watch that. I don't care if every offensive player is hurt, if they've got a picket line of who knows what. That's the game I was going to watch. Has it affected entertainment value? That was an interesting little subtext there. For me, yes. For the casual baseball fan, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That may be a segment we put in here of a Twitter poll. Has the starting pitching fall decline affected your feeling about baseball? Whatever. It's affected mine just because I know how valuable it is. And I thought it was either Max or Verlander, one of those articles was saying, everything is so black and white to the analyst or
to
the front office analytics group. Everything is black and white and they don't know how to value those extra innings. So they ignore it. Kind of talking about Hunter earlier, where throw 95 and get 8 innings or throw 100 and get 5. They don't understand the value of those extra 3 innings over the course of the year. And I will always go back to 2012. We had 162 games, 5 of starting pitchers, and only because we played a doubleheader did somebody else have to make a start. Those guys started every game.
Yep.
That is incredible. And Johnny Cueto was twisting and turning and throwing 97 mile an hour sinkers, and Bronson was doing, you know, his thing. Yeah. And Homer was throwing 98 into the eighth inning, throwing no hitters. I don't understand what changed. I know that everybody started paying for velocity. That is the major reason that guys are getting hurt, because their bodies are doing something they're really not capable to withstand.
Right. But that's starting a long time before they ever get to the big league.
Exactly. But which is why younger players are getting hurt, because they know they're not going to get paid if they can go out there and paint the corners at 91 miles an hour. You ain't even going to Division I. You know, you're going to Division I if you throw 98 and they can figure out maybe how to make you throw a strike.
Yeah.
Maybe. So that is where, because that's what they're paying for at the major leagues, that's what they're getting taught at a young age, and that's why the injuries all the way up the ladder have increased.
And I think injuries clearly have influenced this. It's also, you know, but in the piece. Now, look, I know you started before, but you're a bullpen guy, and there are more jobs for the bullpen guys as it's currently constructed, as teams are currently constructing rosters, because they point out in the piece, you can have a guy start the game, throw five dominant innings, and then if you want to, you can run five guys out there after him that all throw 100, that you can base it on matchups, and you can try to get those remaining outs with those dominant players instead of seeing the guy who dominated the first two times through continue to pitch throughout the game. And so that's part of the argument. But going back to the entertainment thing, baseball is at a point in the evolution, there's that word again, of the sport, which so many people have been reluctant to talk about or embrace. It's brought us the pitch clock. It's brought us a few rules changes. And most of those were geared towards the entertainment of the game.
Yes.
How the game is most entertaining when its stars are healthy.
Yes.
So let's take the collisions at the plate out. Let's take blocking a base out. Let's try and protect starting pitchers by not having them work as much. But the game is more entertaining now with a pitch clock because it keeps your attention. The games are shorter. That was a big part of it. Yep. That's work. And if you went kicking and screaming into the rules changes, right now you have a more watchable, more entertaining product, hands down. So at least I tell the rules change people that are reluctant, at least keep an open mind on what's possible. And throughout this piece, they propose potential rules modifications.
I want to hear the first one that comes out of your mouth.
To maybe reverse this. And first, before we do that, let me read you. Okay, you talked about Scherzer and Verlander. They were a big part of this piece. Rosenthal and Stark talked to executives anonymously, and they talked to other people within organizations, but Scherzer and Verlander were the two most prominent voices they interviewed about the problem.
They know more about it than most.
They know a bit. They know a bit. And, you know, and Scherzer's on the competition committee or whatever that is for the players. And he said, you've got to get starting pitching. Bless you.
Sorry.
you got to get starting pitching back. From an entertainment standpoint, people watch for the matchups. That's a big part of baseball. If you don't have the matchup, every day feels the same. And so if you had each game and you know that your star starting pitchers aren't going to be the biggest part of the game, you've got that same rotation of flame-throwing bullpen guys that you're looking forward to every day. So that's what he said.
Okay.
So let's start with the first proposed change is – you require a starting pitcher to throw six innings. Now, there are some obvious, you know,
hang-ups,
caveats there.
Yeah.
Injury, you come out. Like Little League, you give up 10 runs, you can come out. If you throw a certain number of pitches, they propose maybe 40 pitches in an inning. That's pushing it. You're going to come out. But if your starter, if those things don't happen and your starter doesn't go six innings, they're penalties. And so just opening and broadening Snedeker's mind up to something like that.
Let me sit
down. You would say what?
I would say I love the idea of guys going out. That graph that they showed where the fall off, that blew my mind.
Yeah, just 10 years ago. When you played 10 years ago.
200 innings was like, you better.
And Bronson talked about it every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
And did it every year.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of incentive. So I'll say a word, big word I read was incentivize starters to go six innings. they're not capable of it. Like today's generation of pitcher isn't, the standards have been lowered because it used to be 200 innings. Now it has gone from a quality start to just now it's that graph was even just five innings. Number of pitchers who pitch five innings or more. Or that's what we talked about on the show. Like Graham Ashcraft has gone 19 in a row throwing five innings, like big whoop. You better. Verlander did it other than a rain delay, like 100 in a row or some crazy like that. Yeah. You know, like just the standards have been lowered a little bit. So I think that they're not doing anything really to stave off injury. So you can't, so you might as well, if you're going to do something, you might as well be bold in doing it. So I like the idea. One of the things I read in there was, and it's kind of plays into this, I think it was a little different mindset, was the double hook.
Mm-hmm.
That part. So where, yeah. And folks, I didn't know what that was. I never heard of
one that Max Scherzer has openly pushed like for, and yeah, it's been tested in the Atlantic League.
In that Atlantic League. Yep. So, yeah. And that is, and you help me out. It's if your starter doesn't go at least five innings, or I think it was, if your starter's taken out before the fifth inning, you lose your DH as well.
Yep.
So that was like the incentivizing of keeping your starter out there longer. I like something, and that's just going to be the tough thing about how they proceed with this. What rule is everybody going to be on board with? Because for the most part, a lot of that stuff I read, while there's a piece that I like to it, there's a piece that just like, that's impossible. So it's going to have to be a blend of it. But I did like that double hook idea. I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great. And you're right. There's going to be pieces. There's going to be compromise. But to have somebody like Scherzer on board already, there is some incentive for baseball to continue to listen because of the success. And I know everyone doesn't agree with success, but I think the pitch clock is success. They're still studying if that has an impact on injuries, all of that.
Yeah.
But all told, that's a success story for baseball. The game that refused to change for 150 years was anti this, anti that, finally did something bold. And I think we can largely say we have a positive outcome so far. So that's going to wrap that up. We're going to do more of that because I still love that conversation.
I got a bell too.
Yeah. Oh, even a different tone. I like that.
Happy bell. Yeah. Well, I broke it. Sometimes Anyway. Yeah.
Sometimes you get a little into it.
I get a little bit fired up.
I got you. And we want you to get fired up when we talk about things like that. But I thought that was.
That is cool. And we may have to set aside a little more length of time because it is interesting. And the fact that Max and Justin Verlander, two guys who have respect throughout the game, people's ears are going to perk up when they hear those two guys chiming in. So that's my final thought.
All right. Now the painful irony of what we're doing right now is the last segment, given what we just talked about, the last segment's called Five and Dive.
Nailed it.
So we're still in that
on it.
Way of thinking too. And so we're going to end it with Five and Dive, and that's going to be a series of five rapid fire questions for one of the two of us to deliver. And right now I'm going to put you on the mound for Five and Dive here. And we'll wrap it up this way just to lighten the mood. Just
that's why they're moving to the bullpen.
Right. But listen, because we're going to have some serious conversation. I like the idea certainly of Twitter questions and things like that, but we want to have fun. It's going to be light. We're going to have fun. And here we go. So number one, Five and Dive, Sam LaCure, movie that makes you cry.
Cinderella Man.
I love it.
I mean, several times.
Of course. Of course. Depression era.
I mean,
fighting for his family. Yeah.
If you haven't seen that one, Russell Crowe. Who is that lady? Renee Zellweger. She's amazing in that movie.
Yeah.
And I love Paul Giamatti. Okay. Yep.
Paul Giamatti's the best trainer ever.
Angela, or what's his name, is over there throwing, at least somebody's throwing punches.
I love it. All right.
Are you going to punch him or park him?
There is that. All right. Best vacation spot for Sam LaCure. You can pick.
I love going to, I have, oh, well, when you said vacation, first thing that I thought was tropics, like Cabo was the first thing that came to mind. But then real quick after that, I thought snowboarding's a vacation.
Darn right.
And we love that. We're going to get into some of that. I would say, I keep going back to Jackson Hole, so I'm going to say Jackson.
I love it.
I love that I can't see the bell and I forget about it. I never know when you're going
to
hit it.
There it is. There's also the judges for this segment have encouraged me to remind you that it's a rapid fire segment.
So sorry.
We got to tighten things up. Last thing you binged. Let me say, binge watched.
So I got to do House of the Dragons.
Okay. All right. That's number three. Number four. If you were to be on some sort of diet, cheat day, what would you eat?
Pizza.
Pizza. Of course, that's not bad. And we wrap up five and dive. And I love this question because I know the answer.
Oh, boy.
You invite Sam LaCure to your wedding. Sam LaCure is a dancer at wedding receptions. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, would you consider yourself a good dancer or do you even care?
I don't care. I have kind of, I always feel like I have a style that's kind of all my own. And even that's two-stepping, dude. You know, like I feel like all I'm not a technically good two-stepper, but I have a little bit of a style and it's a feel thing for me. So I'll retract my quick yes and say, when the mood strikes me, I am struck. Okay. And it's going to happen. I remember in 2016, I'll try to make this brief. In 2016, I was going to spring training with the Diamondbacks with a chance to make their club. My buddy got married in, where the hell was that? Hallettsville, I think. Yeah. Hallettsville, Texas.
Texas, East Texas.
They had this big like parade through the streets. I forget what the Grand March or something like that.
Yep. Yep.
So we do that. We come back in. So it's, I guess, German themed ish or whatever it is.
And you were struck.
I was struck. I was down on the ground doing that little like German thing where you kick your feet out like one at a time. I blew my hamstring out in December and I was still affected.
Oh man.
I was still affected when I got to spring training.
Yeah.
So, when I get struck.
You probably had a great time at the reception.
Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
I'll never forget it.
That's it. Sam LaCure. Keep dancing like nobody's watching, man.
That's the best way.
Keep dancing like that, my brother. All right. That's it. We want to keep these things tight. That's it for Dead Red Cincinnati. This
episode. How long was that?
Look for more. Right now, we are at 38 minutes.
Yeesh.
Yeah. A little long.
I got to do better on rapid fire.
That's all right. Look for more, and we'll see you next time on Dead Red Cincinnati.
Thanks for joining. Click the link and subscribe or whatever it is. Cincinnati, we're awesome. Go Reds, go! Go Reds, go!
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.